killer gravy.
Sauce. It's a sauce.
Yeah, whatever.
The bearded trader dipped a grimy finger into the simmering liquid and hooked it into his mouth.
I don't care what the fuck you call it. This shit is triple tasty.
The cook shook his head, turned, and hobbled toward the other end of the long stainless steel counter.
Well, here's our special ingredient right here.
That? The box you're carrying? Oh, shit. How the hell is he not going to notice that?
It's not the box, you stoop. It's what's inside the box. Here. Ooh, thing must weigh 40 pounds. You're going to have a step back, and I'm going to show you this. That's what these big old gloves are for.
All right. That was a good idea of mine, wasn't it?
What? To give old Trader rad poisoning?
Absolutely. I mean, if we're looking to cause some ultimate pain here, what better than to make a man's bowel line and slough off and slide out his backside? Anybody's gonna talk once they've spilled a river of blood out of every orifice, once they've experienced the sharp pain of sepsis, leading finally to a brain-melting fever and a terrible, tortured death.
Ooh, you know, it sounds better every time you say it.
The Baron started to put on the thick gloves.
It still bothers me that we had to leave Trader alone in his wags for so long. No telling what he was doing inside.
Yeah, but if all the wags were set to blow up like he said, we were standing too close looking over his shoulder, we could have gotten blown up with him if something had gone wrong.
If. Don't you see what's going on here? We're taking Trader's word for things at every step. He's making us jump through hoops.
Well, one of the wags blew, we know that.
We don't even know if any of the other wags were mined. But you can bet they're all mine now. He had plenty of time to do it when he was inside all by himself. Seems like no matter what we do, the bastard is always ahead of us. Like he's got the whole thing mapped out and we don't have a clue where he's going. Let me tell you, it pisses me off. Biggish.
Yeah, well, he ain't gonna be one step ahead for long. His butt's gonna be dragging real soon.
That's what you said before about the nerve gas. It was supposed to chill them all, as I remember. Seems to me that your precious deadly grins didn't work for shit.
Hey, come on, the wind was strong. It screwed up the delivery. Anyway, you want another demonstration? I got plenty more where they came from.
I warned you before, and I'm telling you flat out now. If I find you stash that nerve gas somewhere in my vill without my consent, I will personally shove every single gren up your ass.
Shabazz made a mental note to relocate the crates of weapons, which were currently hidden in the refinery warehouse among the many tiers of full fuel drums awaiting buyers.
Now don't you worry about Trader. I figure he'll last only a day or two, which should give us plenty of time to capture Spear Point with his wags. That's all we need him for.
The Baron scowled, which only magnified the effect of his fright mask of a face. Shabazz knew Zeal as well as anybody could. He was a man who loved nothing but himself, and his goal in life, it seemed, was to sweep all things into his talons. Was the man insane? Yes. Did he always seem to make a profit? Yes. Did the two balance out in Shabazz's eyes? Yes again. Heavy gauntlets donned, Zeal went for the metal box. Once opened, Shabazz could see that the box's walls were 6 inches thick, and that the narrow cleft that remained held a single gleaming silver cylinder the size of a man's index finger. On the inner surface of the lid was a purple and yellow radiation warning.
Careful. Doesn't look like much.
No, but it's the deadliest shit since nuke day. Plutonium dust. Not only does it chill you dead, it chills you ugly dead.
Never thought I'd have a use for it. I took it in trade for fuel along with a bunch of other nuke stuff a few years back.
Well now, I think Trader's grub could use just a touch more seasoning.
At the other end of the kitchen, the cook glanced over, shrugged, and looked away. Zeal sprinkled some of the dust into the sauce, holding it close to the surface so as to keep it all in the pot. As Shabazz stirred it in, the Baron moved on to the soup course. The cook had prepared homemade oxtail soup. Zeal shook a good amount of plutonium into it, and it sank immediately to the bottom. Likewise, he doctored the accompanying jug of strong ale.
Oh, don't forget the dessert.
Dessert sat on the sideboard. The pie shell had been pre-cooked and filled with plump purple berries and a thick sugary liquid. The unbaked pie top sat to one side, awaiting the cook's final touch. Zeal emptied the last of the vial into the pie filling.
And that's it. Now to put it back. Oh, cook.
Yes, Baron?
Get that pie in the oven. I want traitor's dinner on the table, right, Sharpish?
Yes, Baron.
The cook immediately started to apply the strips of unbaked crust into the latticework that would form the top of the pie.
It'll be 15 minutes more.
Oh, and one more thing. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. You throw away all the pots and pans you've used to cook this meal. Toss out the utensils as well as every plate, cup, and saucer you used to serve him. Don't wash them. If I see them in this kitchen again, I will hang you from the gates of the stockade by your balls. Do you understand?
Throw everything out. Yes, sir.
Trader sat in the Baron's living room, smoking his hand-twisted cheroot, scattering the ashes on the sofa and rug. He was thinking about his wags and the auto-destructs. He hadn't actually shut down the system, of course. As he'd moved from wag to wag, he'd reset the time to detonation, pushing it forward 24 hours. He figured if his crew wasn't back in charge by then, they'd never be. Because none of the external mines were set, he didn't have to do anything to get at the door locks. Once he'd done his work inside, though, he tripped all the outside switches. His crew always checked the switches before they tried to enter the wags. Anybody else looking to hop a ride was going to get a big surprise. Trader didn't think it was very likely that Zeal and Shabazz had located Spear Point. He had always figured the stockpile of stockpiles was a tall tale. And even if they had found it, he never expected to see any part of the 50-50 split he had worked out with them. He knew the two snakes would dispose of him as soon as they could. Right now, he had them off balance, and he planned on hanging on and digging in his spurs a bit more. Poet, Ryan, and Hunniker were still out there somewhere, and he couldn't have picked three better crew members for the job of freeing the convoy. He wasn't worried that they hadn't tried anything yet. He knew there would be better opportunities for ambush and rescue outside the Ville.
Your dinner's ready.
Dinner?
Yes. If you'll follow me, it's this way.
Well, all right then. Let's get going. Oh, and let your boss know his sofa's got a cigar burn on it.
He followed the servant through a doorway and down a corridor.
Not serving smoked human head tonight, are we?
Of course not.
Good, because that's what I had last night, and the night before that. Getting kind of tired of it, especially the ears.
The servant blinked at him.
They're chewy.
Uh-huh. I've laid out your meal, sir. It's right through there.
I see. Well, thanks.
Trader entered a spacious dining room. Evidently, he was the only guest.
Well, that's a damn fine-smelling berry pie.
He ignored the silverware that had been set out for him to use and drew his own knife. The SOG Pentagon model dagger was double-edged, and one edge was serrated for cutting tree limbs, thigh bones, or pie crust. He slashed the dessert into four huge wedges, then wiped the purple-stained blade on the linen tablecloth. Using his fingers, Trader proceeded to wolf down the entire pie. He had started out with every intention of going slowly so as to get the maximum enjoyment out of it, but the damn thing tasted so good he just couldn't stop himself.
Oh, damn, that was good.
He noticed a kind of funny grit in his mouth. He thought it was from the berry seeds or the wheat flour in the crust. Disdaining the crystal beer mug set out before him, he picked up the flagon and drank straight from the spout.
Hey, I'm gonna need some more of this ale.
The servant hurried in and took the flagon away. By the time he returned with another foaming jug, Trader was well into the main course. He held the china plate tip to his mouth and, using the tip of his dagger, shoveled in the fricassee of game birds, quail, prairie chicken, and chikar. He paused only for breath. Each of the birds had been boned and cooked separately to preserve its unique flavor and texture. They were only stirred into the sauce at the very end. The effect was marvelous. Trader used a hunk of fresh bread to mop the last of the sauce from the plate, then returned to the ale to refresh his palate. He took on the oxtail soup last, spearing out the hunks of tender meat with the tip of his knife. Then, when he'd cleared the field, he picked up the soup bowl and drank it down to the last drop.
Can I bring you anything else?
Nope. That was perfect.
As the servant turned away, Trader whipped out a fresh cheroot. Fresh cheroot in hand, Trader blew smoke rings at the ceiling. If it turned out that this was his last meal, it had been a damned fine one. After a bit, the servant came back with a carafe of brandy and a cut crystal glass.
In case you'd enjoy a drink with your cigar, sir.
Zeal's not trying to get me drunk, is he?
I wouldn't know that, sir, but please help yourself.
Well, he can try all he likes, but I can put any man under the table.
I don't doubt that, sir.
Trader blew more smoke rings, handled more of the Baron's fine brandy, and generally felt on top of the world. While inside his overstuffed belly, a time bomb ticked. It took 20 minutes for Ryan, Poet, and Hun to retrace their steps back to the mini-mall because they had to keep diving for cover from the sec patrols. They re-entered the shantytown and from the cover of a lean-to wall surveyed the milling armed guards, the yellow tape barrier, and the rows of parked wags beyond. They got an almost immediate and very welcome surprise. Hun nudged Ryan with an elbow.
Yeah, I see him.
In the glare of headlights, they watched Trader, cigar firmly clamped in one corner of his mouth, duck under the plastic tape and walk over to the long pink wag. Ryan recognized the man who stood outside the rear door, holding it open for him. It was Levi Shabazz. Trader climbed in the back of the wag. Shabazz entered after him.